remain standing, if you will, turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 28. Proverbs chapter number 28. Amen. By the way, I mentioned about the camp down there. Brother Vic's church puts that on. They rent a Church of Christ campground and hold camp. They have, this time it was Monday through Wednesday. Normally it's Wednesday through Saturday. They went through Thursday morning, but so usually it's Wednesday through Saturday morning. And that's what it'll be next year, by the way. But, they meet like that, and they have night service on the first night, and then they have service in the morning and service at night. They have games and things in the afternoon. After lunch, they have that choir practice that I was talking about that is wonderful, to be honest with you. This, we've always went in and just listened in and spectated. But this time we actually went in and participated with them because the number was down a little bit. We felt like they might need some help and, got the help. Amen. But it's a blessing. And, I'm saying that because I'd like for our church to be a part of that, to be honest with you. I mentioned to him, you know, 3 years ago I went and he had me preach each night. He's not doing that now. He's not having a nightly scheduled preacher, although he had a man preach the two mornings this time, and he may do that. It's a flexible schedule. He had a lot of preachers this time, a lot more than he's had, before, but it was wonderful. Good preaching, good fellowship, and, meet people that you don't know and, you know, all that. It's good. Just to be honest with you. Good atmosphere and all about it. And, matter of fact, I told him that I was going to mention to the church about sending them an offering to help on that this year. I'd like to send them $500 to help them with the expenses of it. Matter of fact, can I get a move in a second on that? Somebody say, all right, Brother Troy makes a motion, Brother Ricky second it. Is that all right? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. All right, appreciate that. We'll do that. That's just, I guess you say, an impromptu special conference. Not really a business meeting, but just get the job done. But I thought it'd be a blessing to them as well as it's a blessing to us. I know Brother Troy's family went. I mentioned Trevor's family went. And I'd like even for more to go next year. Next year, the date's going to be the same as this year, October 30th. Through November 2nd. This year, those dates was Monday through Thursday. This coming year, they'll be Wednesday through Saturday again. And so, anyway, I'll talk more about it. Hopefully build that up. I'd like as many as can come and go. Of course, they have people that drive in at night and don't stay, that go on back. And you'd have that opportunity. It's a little bit of a drive, but you'd have that opportunity. But I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good, particularly, I'll just be honest with you, particularly for young people. Amen. Get young people to meet other young people that are like faith, like-minded, and enjoy the fun, but to get to solid preaching, I think it's wonderful. Amen. And that's why I want me and my wife and all of us young people to go. Amen. And if you can, I want you to be involved. And I just, you know, plug it. Just plug it if we can go. I think it'll be a blessing. All right. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 28, and just beginning this chapter, we've not looked at it in the previous. We finished up chapter 27, I guess last a couple of weeks ago, and so tonight we're going to start with chapter number 28, and I can't hear myself as well, Brother Steve. I don't know if it's just that or if it's me, but I can't hear. There we go. Maybe that done better. No, I looked down. That's what made me look sound better. Proverbs, there you go. Proverbs 28. Well, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's in my mind. Amen. All right. There we go. Yeah, that is. That's much better. Much better right there. All right. And if I can hear myself, I won't holler at you as loud. I don't mean I won't holler at you, but I won't holler at you as loud as if I don't hear myself. All right. Amen. If I don't hear you, I'll holler at you loud. Amen. Proverbs 28, verse number 1 through 7. There's 28 verses in chapter 28. And so we'll try to do this. If we can break it down into four equal bites of 7 verses each, we're going to try that. That's my attempt. And these first 7 verses, what I've got studied out for tonight. Let's read it together responsibly as we do. Verse number 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged.
A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is companion of righteous men shameth his father. We'll stop there with verse 7's reading. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask God to add blessing to the reading of his word. Brother Jacob, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes, help us, Lord. Amen, amen. All right, thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. By the way, I appreciate Brother Jacob opening up and doing everything while I was gone, helping out there with Brother Herbert. And I want to say I appreciate Brother Philip. I sprung that on him real quick there. I said, can we sing two congregational songs? I didn't have anybody on my heart for special. Didn't have anything special on my heart. And so I just sprung that on him. I appreciate him working, being willing, ready to do that kind of thing. And that helps. Amen. It helps to have things running smoothly as we can. Amen. I've said it before. This is not a production. We're not here to put on a show. But dead time on the radio sounds like a long time. And we like to keep it moving as much as possible and be prepared, you know, as much as possible to do what we can for the glory of God. Matter of fact, everything we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we're to do it for the glory of God. And so we ought to want to do the best we can in whatever God gives us to do. Amen. Now, the Proverbs of chapter 28, part 1, that's what we're looking at in these verses. I remind you that tonight, I said we're beginning this new chapter of study as we study chapter 28 and breaking it down into four equal parts, if the Lord will help us to do that. And I've not broken it down ahead. I'm not way ahead of schedule with it, but I looked at these seven, got those tonight, and that's the plan. These Proverbs are similar to many that we've looked at already. Matter of fact, some of them are almost mirror statements or repeat statements of what has been said previously. But the ones we've been looking at recently, and these are similar to them, are about a myriad, a wide variety of different subjects, short, simple statements about a lot of different various subjects. Now, notice verse number 1. He says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Moses Stewart, in his commentary, gave a simple paraphrase of that. Here's what he said. He said, the wicked are full of fears, while the righteous repose in quiet safety, not being apprehensive of any danger. I think that's a good paraphrase of it. The wicked have a lot to be afraid of. The righteous don't have anything to be afraid of. The verse in Romans says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. The black preacher that preached for me back in North Carolina years ago, he's passed away now. I worked with him in the glass factory, Preacher Rowe. Preacher Rowe said this. He said, your problem is in direct correlation with your God. He said, if you got a big God, all you got are little problems. He said, if you got a little God, you got some big problems. That's right. That is exactly right. Direct correlation there that we can see. So he's talking here in this phrase there, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You recognize he's not talking about individuals. The righteous are. He's not talking about one man is. He's looking at groups of people. When he's saying the wicked, it's a group of wicked people. When he's saying the righteous, he's talking about a group of people. There's only two sides, by the way, and you're on one or the other. Amen. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. Right. And so he's looking at these two groups of people. And when you look at it at first glance, this proverb may not look to be true. Because rather than seeing the wicked flee, a lot of times they're the ones that seem to be bold. They're the ones with the bumper stickers that say no fear. They're the ones that seem to be bold in their stance. They'll wave their rainbow flag. By the way, I was shocked today, and I don't guess I should have been, but I pointed out to my wife, a church right here in Madisonville have got their rainbow flag in their yard now. I knew they had it on their sign before, but now they've got another one, and it's the actual flag out there in their yard. They don't have an American flag, or at least I didn't see it. They don't have the, you know, POW flag or the Kentucky state flag or even the Christian flag. But they got the rainbow flag flying. And what does that mean? Well, they've chosen sides. That's what that means. Amen. And I told my wife, I wouldn't be surprised if their preacher, she's a woman, by the way, if their preacher not be a lesbo. That's the way I said it. Wouldn't be surprised waving that kind of a flag. Amen. I'm not making accusations. You say, preacher, you sound like it. No, I'm not making accusations. I'm just saying people choose sides. And it seems like a lot of times the wicked are not fearful, but the wicked are bold, it seems like, in many cases. Amen. But I'll say this idea, when people put this sticker up, for example, that says no fear, this is what I believe. I believe they're trying to convince themselves not to be afraid. I believe they're trying to talk themselves into boldness. And people do that a lot of times, by the way. They build up themselves and they put forward some kind of an idea as if they're some kind of big bold, when in reality they're not. They're trying to convince themselves to shut off their nagging conscience. Because I believe this verse is talking about people whose conscience is awake. If a man has a conscience that is alert and active, if he's wicked, he better be fearful. His conscience will tell him he needs to be fearful. If a man serving God, living for God, he's got a good conscience, his conscience tells him you don't have to be afraid. You're trusting the Lord. Amen. So this proverb, I believe, is speaking about the timidity of guilt in the conscience. A guilty conscience makes people fearful. Adam and Eve, they probably felt all right until they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the evening. When they heard the voice of God in the garden, they fled and hid themselves among the trees. Why? Because they had a conscience that was alive. They knew they were guilty. Amen. And so, this is the way I put it in my notes. Guilt brings fear, but the removal of guilt brings confidence. Amen. Guilt brings fear, but the removal of guilt brings confidence. Amen. I'm convinced that if I was to go up in a store and I was to walk up to a store, for example, and pull out a gun or else just stuck my finger in my pocket and said, give me all your money, my hand would be like that right there. And when I was trying to get the money, I'd be like it. But you know what they do? Matter of fact, a fellow worked for me. He had at one time had almost been a professional thief. He said, what you got to do is not have any fear. He said, you just walk in there, walk in Walmart, he said, pick up the television, put it on your shoulder and walk out like you own the thing. And he said, 9 times out of 10, they won't even try to stop you if you're not afraid. You know what he's doing? Searing his conscience. He's wounding his own soul. Right? He is deadening the voice of God when God's telling him you're wrong. What you're doing is wrong and you need to repent of it. That man better be afraid, because he's hurting himself. Amen. But when we trust in God, our fears are removed. Amen. Amen. Miss Evelyn testified this morning. I was trying to get her name come to mind. I think Philip's wife. Miss Evelyn testified this morning. She lived a life of fear as a child until she got saved. Amen. And that salvation settled those nerves. Right? Not saying that we never face anything that makes us fearful. Matter of fact, what Miss Sue's going through, there could be times of fear. Amen. There also should be times when the Holy Ghost gives you and has given her grace. Amen. Amen. But, and we never know. None of us ever know what's going on in our body or what's going on in our life, what's going on in our family, what's going on around us. Amen. Matter of fact, if you wanted to be fearful, with that Hezbollah group, if they've got their finger on a button that's got nukes to it, we all ought to be afraid if that was the case. Unless God's in control of all that. And I believe he is. Amen. Amen. So if we trust in God, our fears are removed. Here's what he said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So, I believe, by the way, what he's saying there, he's not saying you're lost, but he's saying you've not really matured like you ought to mature in God if you're still fearful about things. Somewhere in the line, you're not trusting God if you're fearful about these things. Amen. Listen, how come Joshua and Caleb, when there's 12 spies went into the promised land to spy it out, Joshua and Caleb saw the same giants them other 10 fellows saw, but Joshua and Caleb wasn't trembling in their boots. They weren't afraid of the giants because they knew God was on their side. Them other 10 were afraid because they weren't trusting in God. They saw the same giants, but they didn't see the same God. Right. And so they were fearful. Amen. I'm afraid that many times there's a lack of boldness on the part of Christians. And the problem, if we'd look for it, the problem's probably a lack of prayer. A neglect of prayer time. Amen. Maybe a lack of prayer and fasting. Maybe a lack of Bible reading. Maybe a lack of just walking with the Lord. Looking to Him. Amen. And by the way, Christ wants us to be fearless. Over and over, I looked it up. I believe it's 62 times in your King James Bible, the phrase, fear not. Many of them, not majority, but many of them are red letter words. Jesus said over and over and over to his disciples. By the way, before he calmed the waves, he said, fear not. He also said, be not afraid. He'd say, have no fear. There's a lot of other ways you could bring that in. But Jesus wants us to be fearless. Here's what he said. Red letter words, Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 28. Jesus said, and fear not them that kill the body. Huh? What about Muslims? Hezbollah? Villains? Thieves? Fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now fear is a natural thing, and in one sense, I'll be honest with you, fear is like anger. Fear can be good if you control it and it doesn't control you. There can be a healthy fear. That's a reverential fear. Children ought to fear their dad. Amen. When dad says, do you want a spanking? Or mama says, do you want me to slap your mouth around to the back of your head? You ought to fear that she means exactly what she says. Right? They ought to fear that they mean what they say. That's a healthy fear. But children ought not have to walk around all the time ducking from their parents. And afraid to climb up in their parents' lap or to speak to their parents. Amen. There's a healthy fear, but there's a foolish fear also as well. Amen. Matthew Bridges has this wonderful quote from Bishop Hall. We've quoted him before. Bishop Hall said this, the wicked is a very coward and is afraid of everything. Of God because he is his enemy. Of Satan because he is his tormentor. Of God's creatures because they, joining with their master, fight against him. He's afraid of himself because he bears about with him his own accuser and executioner. The godly man, contrarily, is afraid of nothing. Not of God, because he knows him as his best friend and will not hurt him. Not of Satan, because he cannot hurt him. Not of afflictions, because he knows they come from a loving God and end in his good. He's not afraid of the creatures, since the very stones in the field are in league with God. He's not afraid of himself, since his conscience is at peace. I say amen right there. Amen. You know what? We don't need to live in a constant state of fear, of turmoil. God don't want us to live that way. Again, go back to what he said there in 1 Timothy. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Who did then? God didn't. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. That was quoted over and over when COVID was running through. By the way, I think that one of the most dangerous things about COVID was the unexpected and the fear that came along with it. Amen. Verse number 2, let's go ahead and move on. Verse number 2, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. This proverb seems to be talking about government. It's talking about a nation, a nation's government, or a group of people, the government of a people. Indicating that God shows his dissatisfaction to a nation by allowing them to experience a rapid and short succession of leadership. One after another. They keep changing leadership. Many princes. You see that? Many are the princes. The idea is first one, then another. First one and then another. They're always changing leadership. Rapid and often changes in leadership. Amen. Nothing of value can be accomplished by these successive reigns. Amen. The opposite effect is when a nation has a man of understanding. Amen. A man of understanding and knowledge. That's not talking about that he understands economics. It's not talking about that he understands international war or what it is, but it's talking about he understands God. He understands the things of God. He understands something about righteousness. All when this book of Proverbs is talking about wisdom and knowledge and understanding, it's talking about knowing the things of God. Amen. We need God back in government again. Well, this is good to be preaching right before election. Amen. I don't care how many churches a man or a woman is a member of, if they believe in killing babies, they don't know God. Amen. Now, that's just one issue. Just one issue. And I could name many, many others. Amen. I've said, well, I can't tell you who to vote for. I can tell you who not to. And most of the time, there's not much of value to vote for. But I'll just be honest with you, in most cases, state or federal government, how could you do worse than what we got? I mean, in most cases, you don't have to know a whole lot about a lot of stuff to improve. But if we could get God in government, here's what I'm not saying don't vote, we need to vote. But I'm also saying don't put all your hope in the voting process. Our hope is in God, and we have an understanding, and so we need to go to God and ask God to help us have somebody at the helm that can lead us in the right way. We don't need to be given to them that are given to change over and over, over and over, changing all these things. Amen. And so he's talking about here about the pleasure of God, God's being pleased with government or not pleased with government. You can obviously see the wisdom of Solomon here. You can see the foresight of Solomon. This is his book that he wrote. I know he wrote it on inspiration. It's not just his ideas, but God used him. Amen. He's saying here, he's interested in leadership. Solomon was on the throne. Solomon had a father that had been on the throne. He's going to have a son on the throne. He's going to have descendants on the throne. And Solomon is concerned about the throne and the governmental leadership of the nation. But he's also concerned about the glory of God. Amen. He's showing here, and many Proverbs show us, God's not only interested in individual life. He's interested in government. He's interested in nations. Amen. He's interested in the political and national life of the people of the nation. It reminds me of the quote by Benjamin Franklin. And I looked up to get the date and all that. He delivered at the gathering of the Continental Congress of the United States in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. On June the 28th, 1786, here's what Benjamin Franklin said. Gentlemen, I have lived a long time. And am convinced that God governs in the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? I move that prayer, employing the assistance of heaven, be held every morning before we proceed to business. Now, Benjamin Franklin, far as we know, never accepted Christ as his Savior. But he knew something about God. He recognized and had a fear of God. And he used that statement, and I thought it's interesting that he did, because George Lawson in his commentary on Proverbs, and Charles Bridges in his, and those are two of the best commentaries on Proverbs written in the 1800s, both of them alluded to the fact that if God sees the sparrow when it falls, surely he's concerned about the nation. Amen. And Benjamin Franklin made that statement about that. But Benjamin Franklin said, my advice is that we implore heaven, that we have prayer, before we do anything. Amen. I think that's good advice. What he is saying was our nation is more dependent on God than we know. And it still is, by the way. More dependent upon God than we know. Amen. God's displeasure with our ways can allow rival forces to shorten our ability to be led in a prosperous way. We're seeing that, by the way. Amen. Rival forces, treacherous forces, fighting against the betterment of our nation. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it's infiltrated every party. Amen. It's not just one. It's infiltrated every party. I believe it's evidence that we're, and part of it in the last days, and the spirit of deception and the spirit of confusion has swept over our world, not just our nation, but our world. What do we need to do? We need to call on God. Amen. Benjamin Franklin said we ought to be calling on God, and I think he's right about that. Amen. So, but God's displeasure causes that rival force to come in, and we can't have good leadership. But if God's pleased with the leadership that we have, then he can help that to be prolonged, is what he's talking about in this. Let's read that verse again. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. Amen. And so our prayer ought to be that we're praying for the leaders of our nation, that we're praying for the leaders of our state, that we're praying for the leaders of our cities, that we're praying for the leaders of our churches, that we're praying for the leaders of our homes. We need prayer for leadership. Amen. Just as wisdom and understanding in the things of God are profitable to an individual, so they are profitable to a nation. Amen. I put this note here and then I'm moving to my next proverb. Most all of us have seen businesses that just change hands. That's the phrase we say. They change leadership. Maybe change ownership, change leadership. Just on a regular basis. And you know what happens to that business? It starts losing business. People can't trust it. Right. If they had any kind of a warranty, that warranty's void when the next person takes over. Right. If they have any kind of a testimony, that testimony is null and void when the next person takes over. And it just keeps changing. By the way, the same is true in churches. Churches that have just one pastor and then another, one leader and then another. And it's just all the time in turmoil and chaos. It starts falling apart. Amen. And by the way, this church, we ought to thank God. God's given us leadership that's been able to stay. Brother Hall stayed here, amen, all those years, 27 years, praise God. Amen. Then he's allowed me to stay here 9 already. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Amen. You folks could have threw me out, especially back when it'd been harder when I weighed more. But now maybe I feel more like fighting. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. But seriously, we ought to thank God that God has allowed us to have leadership that hasn't just changed and changed and changed. Amen. And some, it's not the leadership position that changed, it's the way they changed. Hey, they just fly by night. We're going to try this time, and next year we're going to try something different. And if that don't work next year, we're going to try something different. I'm telling you, you can't serve God that way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. This next proverb seems to speak about government issue also, governmental authority. Look at verse number 3. A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain that leaveth no food. Somebody in authority. That's a poor man. Amen. Somehow he's exalted to a position of authority. Instead of considering others tenderly that are in the same state that he has been in, he looks at them harshly. And he oppresseth, it says, oppresseth the poor. Yeah. He says this oppression is like a sweeping rain that carries away everything with it, leaving scarcely any seed or any topsoil for the seed to take root in. No food left. What, by the way, rain is good. When a farmer plants seed, he prays for rain. But he wants a good, steady, soaking rain. He don't want a hard, harsh, flooding rain that washes away the seed and damages the fields. Amen. Pounds the ground and floods there. That's not what he's looking for. Likewise, these poor people, they'd like to have somebody in authority that understands what they're going through. Amen. but not somebody that does more harm than good. Did you know that since Lyndon Baines Johnson started the war on poverty, we got more poor folk than we've ever had? I mean, since they started doling out money, giving money to people that don't work, and by the way, not helping people that need it, but helping people that don't need it, making bums out of people that could work, it has been a degradation to our society. Right? Amen. I don't fuss at these illegals coming in. Many of them will work, but then they learn the system. Who do they learn it from? Right? And it's hurt our nation, and this is what he's dealing with, this, the poor man being oppressed, or the poor man oppressing others. Sometimes the elevation of the poor man to power actually causes that person to be lifted up, puffed up in pride and arrogance. We've all seen that. Matter of fact, you can see that sometimes just in law enforcement. Somebody all of a sudden, they got a little bit of authority and it goes to their head. Right? You can see it all over. You can see it in business. Right? Just goes to their head and they think, now I'm somebody. I've got some authority. When in reality, their authority is to be helpful and to be a leader in these things. Amen. And maybe their pride and their arrogance, they forget those whom they once knew. They forget those things that they once cared about. Amen. These types of people often look for an opportunity to enrich themselves in their newfound position at the expense of those they should be taken care for. Amen. Amen. By the way, I put some notes here. This has happened all through history. By the way, one reason why you need to know history. We're in schools, they don't teach history like they used to. We're being dumbed down more and more and more. Yep. I read something some time ago. This has been 4 or 5 years ago. Some of the new history books coming out of California at that time had one paragraph speaking about Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, other men that have been presidents, great men, and it had 27 pages about Marilyn Monroe. One paragraph about men that have been leadership of our country and 27 pages about a woman that, to be honest with you, was not a help to our nation or to herself. But a hero to many. You need to know history. This is what I wrote down three times. It's been seen many times in history. For example, in the French Revolution, kings and queens were dethroned and beheaded by the poor, what was known as the rabble, just the mobs of people out there. Of course, you know, Marie Antoinette had that famous saying, let them eat cake. She didn't understand that they didn't have cake. She had what she wanted. She didn't understand why they didn't have and couldn't survive all the way the taxation had gone and all that. But those that had money were thrown off their thrones by those that didn't have it. Those that had power were thrown off their thrones by those that didn't have it. But those that came in and succeeded them were found to be more murderous and more treacherous and more debauched even than the kings and queens that had been on the throne before. Yep. And by the way, I'll just say, that's what I'm afraid of in our nation. People say, we need another revolution. We don't have men like George Washington, Ben Franklin, amen, Thomas Jefferson, James Adams. Amen. We don't have men. James Madison, who our town was named after. We don't have men like that anymore. Amen. We don't even have men like Jeb Stuart and Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. We don't have that anymore. God help us. I talk about the French Revolution. How about when communism, socialism swept over Russia? Again, they killed the farmers that knew how to plant. They killed the scientists that knew how to do things. And they brought people up from the rank and file of the people, the proletariat people. They brought them in and plebs, they put them in other words, they didn't know anything. And you know what happened? Famine swept over the land. Millions killed because they did not know what they were doing. Then there's groups more modern like Occupy Wall Street, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, enriching themselves, destroying buildings, destroying property, destroying monuments and all along those lines, all in the name of hatred And here's, listen to me now, and this may be a political statement, but it is true. They hate the rich more than they love the poor. Black Lives Matter ain't interested in black lives. No. They're not interested in your life either. They're interested in money and power and gaining that power. Matter of fact, that's the symbol of the fist. Amen. Goes back to Hitler. Goes back to Stalin. Right? Amen. In every case of those I've mentioned above and many other cases that could be mentioned, the poor man that has been exalted to the position of power, the position of authority, has oppressed the poor like a sweeping rain that leaveth no food. Amen. Does that indicate that the poor man can never exercise authority or power? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But it does mean that you don't pick a man just because he belongs to a certain class. Just because it happens to be a woman don't mean she's the best for the job. Just because it happens to be a black woman doesn't mean she's the best for the job. Just because it checks the box of the certain individual or a certain type group does not mean they're the best for the job. That's what it's saying. Amen. You can't promote, or I should say promotion should not be chiefly based on some social standing. Well, he's poor, so he'd be good in leadership. No, you need to look at his ability to lead. Amen. Number four, we're moving on. Not moving too fast, but since I didn't preach this morning, I can preach all night. Say amen right there. Can I get a move in a second on that? Amen. Verse number four. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Again, you see this is in the idea of, we can see it in our nation, really, in all this. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Moses Stewart, I mentioned how he paraphrased verse 1. He paraphrased verse 4 as well. Here's what he said. He said, the impious eulogize the wicked, but the pious oppose them. Amen. It seems to me that all three of these Proverbs, 2, 3, and 4, are applicable. They fit our current government and media world. Right. They fit our leadership to a T, as they say. Amen. We have rival factions that are splintering our nation and dividing and destroying the peace by dividing the people and conquering them, fighting one against another. We have people being promoted into leadership positions that do not have any ability. They're put there because of their social connections or rather than their competence to be able to do the job. We see that over and over. And we have people who do not obey the law, who do not even recognize the law. They've forsaken the law, being praised and applauded. Amen. The wicked do not need encouragement in their wickedness. Amen. But they often receive it. Amen. How many of these, I remember when they were debating in our legislature, they were debating about this, these children transgender thing with the children and pushing that. And they had women that came and testified. They'd been through that. They had transitioned. Now they're indeed transition. And almost without any variance, at least I'll say many of them said this. They said that I felt like a misfit. I felt like my parents didn't notice me. I felt like nobody in school noticed me. I didn't fit in with anybody. But as soon as I came out of the closet, I had all kinds of friends on Facebook. I had all kinds of friends in social media. All the what is that? Is it Tumblr? It's some kind of, it starts with a T. I don't remember. One of them that's something like that, that might be Tinder. Maybe is that it? Is that one of them? Y'all know stuff like that better than I do. That's mainly young girls that's on it. And they got all these influencers that are bragging on them and tell them where to go to get an abortion. They tell them where to go to buy the things to bind them and to warp their bodies and to wreck their bodies and to change their bodies and to change their hormones. They tell them all these things. And you know what they're doing? They're saying, that's my friend. I found friends here. No, those are not your friends. They're encouraging you in wickedness. And it's harmful to you, yourself, in your rebellion against God. By the way, when I say it's wicked, it's because God made them male and female, and God never made a mistake with one. Amen. God never made a mistake with one. Amen. I say the wicked do not need encouragement in their wickedness, but they often receive it. This proverb tells us from whom the wicked receive their praise. They receive their praise from those that forsake the law. Amen. Ungodly people praising ungodly people. By the way, we see that in our media. Who holds all these award ceremonies? Harlots commending the sexiness of other harlots. Right. By the way, when somebody gets on Facebook and they're showing off their mini skirt or they're showing off their ungodliness, don't like it.
Amen.
Amen. Exactly. Amen. Matter of fact, I'd change friends. Amen. Amen. But that's what happens. Effeminate men congratulate the bravery of another effeminate man showing up in his high heels and skirt. Yeah. Hollywood praises the wickedness of other Hollywood actors and actresses. One wicked person comments on the radical tattoo of another wicked person. They comment on those things that they're doing. By the way, rebellious teens are praised for their rebellion by others who forsake the law. Amen. They're praised by those. Brother Billy Parsons said this years ago, and I think it's a good statement. Here's what he said. I wrote it down so I could remember how he said it. He said, every black spot on one of God's little lambs makes every black sheep feel better. One little spot on one of these little lambs makes the black sheep feel better. That's right. They applaud the wickedness. That's what he's talking about here. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. Amen. I think that phrase summarizes that statement there. Every black spot on one of God's little lambs makes every black sheep feel better. But then there's the opposite point here, he says. But such as keep the law, contend with them. That doesn't mean that we get out our guns or we draw our swords. It means we stand up against it. Amen. We say, that's not happening in my house. Amen. Amen. Children come home and say, Mama, everybody at school's getting tattoos. You say, not you, not everybody. Everybody, by the way, and it may be those little temporary ones. I don't advise the temporary ones because they lead to permanent ones. The little playthings, right? The little playthings, the little fake cigarettes or the fake beers, the near beers. Come on now. I don't advise any of that because what it does, it leads to more wickedness down the road. We just come through Halloween. I know they're painting their faces and they're doing all that stuff. Listen, I don't advise that. It's not good. It's, by the way, they're focusing on death and they're focusing on evil and they're praising evil is what they're doing. Oh, it's just fun and games. Oh, it's a lot deeper than that. For some of them in their foolishness, it is just fun and games. But for many of them, they know the depths of Satan. Amen. The Bible talks about. Amen. They know about those things. Well, let me find my note here. A good illustration of this standing against the wicked is the fact that Herod took his brother Philip's wife. You remember that in the scripture? I imagine Herod walks out with Herodias on his arm. She's just divorced Herod's brother, Philip, and now they're married. Or now they're together. I don't know if they're married. It looks like they are. And they're walking around. They're a pair now. Everybody is applauding. Boy, Herod, you're brave to have got your brother's wife. Boy, Herod, you're brave. And Herodias, you're brave to get what you wanted and not to be held back by the Moors and by the stringent patriarchy of men leadership. But John the Baptist said, it's not lawful for you to have her. Amen. John the Baptist said, and listen, John the Baptist said, adultery, shacking up, all that mess is not lawful. And that's what the righteous still say, by the way. It's what the book still says. Amen. It's exactly what it says. So, let me ask this. How are we doing on that? Whose posters are on your walls? That'll tell me which side you're on. Yeah. Yeah. Who are your heroes? Who are your enemies? Amen. Whose cards do you collect? Well, I used to collect baseball cards, certain, and you know, now they got other things. Who's your heroes? It'll say something about you. Whose music? Whose movies? Whose novels are you wrapped up in? That'll tell us where your heart is. Amen. Amen. By the way, this proverb says what I said earlier on. There's no middle ground. You got to pick a side. Amen. Either you're for me, Jesus said, or you're against me. Look at verse 5. I'm trying to move on. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. I believe that is what Paul was quoting in 1 Corinthians, where he said, the spiritual man judgeth all things. Discerns. That's the verse he's talking about. Discernment. Amen. Discernment. Evil men cannot discern. Right. But the spiritual man, or in this case, he's talking about they that seek the Lord, can discern and understand all things. I don't mean they know everything. They're know-it-alls. That's not at all what he's talking about. But he is talking about how that there is a difference. The lawless praise the lawbreaker. They heap praises on the wicked in their wickedness. This proverb says that evil men cannot understand why these things are wrong. Why would it be wrong for a man? Listen, why can't a man wear a dress like a woman can? Why can't he? If that's what he wants to wear. If he feels more fulfilled with his fingernails painted. If he feels more satisfied with high heels on. I mean, I got a cramp just trying that. I'm glad we don't video our services, ain't you? Say amen right there. So what if he feels more fulfilled? What's wrong with it? Well, you know what's wrong with it. The Bible says a woman not to wear that pertains to a man, nor a man put on a woman's garment. Right? The Bible says that's not right, and we know it's not right. We can see it very plainly in the Scripture. And by the way, God never changed from the Old Testament to the New. God never changed when the times changed back. God's still the same God, and His standard's still the same. Amen. But they don't understand that. They don't understand it. I don't know. You've probably been getting all these. We've got all kinds of flyers. And boy, I'll be glad when election time's over. Only I know it's going to pick up for next year. Getting all this stuff, talking about all these things and hearing all this stuff. And how that, for example, they're saying Daniel Cameron is going to force women to have babies. Listen, nobody forced them to get pregnant. If they were forced to get pregnant, that's rape. And you don't kill babies for rape, you kill rapists. Right? Just makes sense to me. Just makes sense. Matter of fact, I think it just makes sense to anybody except what he said right here. The wicked cannot understand that. Cannot understand that. Amen. Well, the evil mind is blinded. Their intellect is darkened. Their foolish heart is darkened, Paul said in the book of Ephesians. Their power of discernment is gone. They cannot understand why some things are wrong, why some things are to be avoided. Amen. That's why some of that crowd cannot understand why we preach against television and going to the movies. Preach against everything Hollywood or Disney. They don't understand that. Amen. By the way, what could be wrong with little Mickey Mouse? I tell you what it does. It leads to the sodomy that's behind all that stuff. Yeah. They don't see anything wrong with abortion. They don't see anything wrong with alcohol. They don't see anything wrong with gambling or sodomy or divorce or skin tight blue jeans or low cut blouses or rock and roll music or country music, and on it goes. They don't see anything wrong with it. Amen. Matter of fact, while I'm here and while y'all are so receptive, I don't know that I've ever been to a wedding that there wasn't somebody there dressed immodestly. And I don't want to bring hurt and harm to anybody, but I'm going to tell you, that's not how we pattern our life. I want sinners to come. I want them to hear the gospel. Right. And I'm not going to be ugly to them if I can help it. Right. But at the same time, people need to learn to put some clothes on. Right. Amen. And they need to be clothes long enough to cover, high enough to cover, and loose enough that they don't show everything in, they don't show every rib in your body. Amen. Or every panty line. Amen. Oh me. I didn't mean to get there, but y'all helped me. Thank you. Thank you. But it is right. It's right. They honestly do not understand why anybody say anything about that. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to wear and how to dress. Nobody gonna tell me what to do. Yeah, they sure do. Amen. The world does it all the time. Amen. They don't understand why we say you ought to be at every church service. Why we say you ought to pray, you ought to read your Bible. They don't understand all those things. Why do you need to read that Bible again and again and again? Matter of fact, they don't understand why one Bible is better than another. All Bibles got to be as good. One's got to be as good as another. And the new one's got to be better than the old ones, don't they? I mean, that's the mentality of the world. They really don't understand. You know why they've lost their discernment? They can't understand the difference in right and wrong. Many of them, here's why. It's because their conscience becomes less and less discriminating. They have seared it more and more. They have intentionally, they have personally quieted the voice, turned down the volume of that nagging conscience that told them they were wrong about what they're doing. But on the contrary, he gives the other side of that. They that seek the Lord understand all things. Amen. Bible believers have a tender conscience. Right. We're listening to the still small voice of the Spirit. Amen. You ever wondered why, for example, why the rock and roll music is so loud? They don't want to hear no tender small voice. They want to rock their brains out. Yeah. Whole lot of that going on, by the way. Sometimes in churches. Amen. Amen. But the Spirit of God guides the believer into all truth. Thus, He guides and steers us away from certain things. Amen. The Holy Ghost tells believers what to believe and what to do. Amen. We understand those things. They that seek the Lord. How do you seek the Lord? Right, here's one way you seek the Lord. By looking in His Word. Another way you seek the Lord is by bowing on your knees. And I realize it don't have to be an altar, and it don't even have to be necessarily on your knees, but you're bowing your heart to God multiple times in the day. Amen. Seeking the Lord. Searching the Scriptures, meditating on the Word of God, praying, maybe fasting and pray. Amen. And the Holy Spirit gives us light that others don't have. Amen. Amen. Let me move on. I got to move on. I got other things I could say. Let me look at verse number 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. This proverb is similar to one we've looked at already. If you want to turn back to Proverbs 19 and verse number 1, I want to read it to you. You don't have to turn there. You can. Proverbs 19, verse 1. You'll see it's very similar to 28, verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Both of them talking about the poor being better. Both of them talking about that phrase, though he be rich. That idea is in there. And talking about perverseness. One of them, he's perverse in his words, perverse with his lips. The other's perverse in his ways. Why is this repeated? Because the repetition is needful. We need to hear that instruction again. It's valuable instruction. And it does good to hear it again. Amen. Most men labor more to be rich than to be holy. Amen. This proverb tells us that uprightness is better than wealth. Amen. There are those who sacrifice principle for wealth. And then there are others that may sacrifice wealth for principle. And I'm going to tell you which one's the richest according to the richest man that ever lived. The poor man that hangs on to his principle. The poor man that hangs on to his integrity. Job was one of the richest men in his country. And Job lost everything he had except his integrity. He held on to his integrity. And he still had the praise of God. And when it was all said and done, Job was the richest man again. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, that integrity is important. Amen. How is this man better? Now, he's contrasting the poor man that is a good man with a rich man who's a bad man, if we want to say it that way, an ungodly man. He's contrasting these two. How is the poor man that is godly better than the rich man who is ungodly? Well, his bank account may not be better, but he has a better character. His possessions, his position may not be better, but his influence on others and his influence on society is better. Amen. His current feelings of happiness and pleasure and entertainment may not be better, but his eternal future of happiness, contentment, and pleasure will be better. Amen. That poor man's better. Look at verse 7. I'll close verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. Here we have the story of two young men. It's all these. I think every one of these proverbs gives you the dichotomy, one and the other, contrasting the two characters together. Here's two young men, grew up in a home. They choose the way they're living based on how they're taught by their parents. One chooses to keep the law. He's a wise son. One chooses to hang out with the wrong crowd. That's what it says. Do you see that? He's the companion of righteous men. And he shames his father. The righteous men he's speaking about here, those that live for fun, those that live for themselves, they bring shame upon the name of their fathers. Amen. Amen. Advice to young people here is to take heed to the nurture and admonition of the Lord that your parents have tried to raise you up in. Amen. Amen. Reject those loud, brazen, bold, brash young people who have decided to go a different route. They've quote unquote got their freedom, but in reality they're in bondage. Amen. They're throwing off all the quote unquote restraints. They're throwing off all the rules and they're running after folly. And Solomon said, they're going to wind up bringing shame. Shame. That's advice to the children. Here's advice to the parents. Double down on seeking the face of God for your children. Don't give up praying for them now. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Amen. Fast and pray. Amen. Spend some time before the throne of grace on behalf of your children. Raise them in the godliness and sobriety and humility. Amen. Raise them in the ways of God and in the things of God. By the way, I'll just plug this real quick and I'm going to move off of it. I've been a little bit meddling tonight. Practical, but we need it, by the way. One thing we got to be careful of, every person in here today and every person that can hear this or hear it later on, listen to a recording. Here's what we got to be careful of. If we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in the activities of Saturday that we can't be ready for Sunday. We'll get wore out. We'll get tired out, spent out, aggravated out to the point we can't come in and worship on Sunday. We'd be better off skipping some of that activity on Saturday and preparing for the Lord's Day. Amen. And enjoying the Lord's Day. Amen. And by the way, don't let the Lord's Day get filled with all kinds of foolishness either. It's the Lord's Day all day long. You don't hurry up and get through a church so you can go fish. Or go hunt. Or go shop. Or even go visit with family. You don't hurry up and get those things aside so you can do what you want to do. No, you ought to want to be at church and you ought to want to serve God all day long. Amen. Amen. All right, that's free. That's free. Y'all should have let me preach this morning. No, I'm kidding. Amen. I'm saying this about raising your family. Keep them in church. Hold fast to those old paths of child rearing. Hold fast to them. Amen. Keep them in the Bible. Keep the Lord Jesus in front of them. Amen. I know that public school might be easier. A lot of other things. Even Christian school might be easier, but it'll be worth the effort that you put into it to teach that child yourself. It'll be worth the effort. You pray with them. Thank God for Sunday school teachers that pray with them. But don't leave it up to the Sunday school teacher. Thank God for preachers that'll preach to them, but don't leave it up to the preacher. They need parents. God gave them parents before He gave them a Sunday school teacher or a preacher. There are babies born into this world without a preacher. Nobody's born without parents. God expects the parents to teach those children and train them in the way they ought to go. And this verse says, they may bring you to shame if you don't. It says there'll be a wise son if they'll take heed to it. Now here's, and I'm almost done. I know every child don't take everything they get. Matter of fact, no child takes everything they get. You can teach them, you can tell them. I mean, how many of you ever told your child something and they just didn't get it? You told them again. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times, quit that exaggerating. You tell them and tell them and they don't get it. Sometimes they don't. But I'm going to tell you, that don't mean that it's wrong to tell them. That don't mean it's wrong to tell them again. But the point is, don't quit now. Well, they'll never get it. I'm just giving up on them. No, don't give up. Listen, don't give up on them and don't give up on God. There's a God in heaven that can help those children. By the way, even if they wind up in the far country, even if they wind up selling everything they've got and losing everything they've got and wind up in the hog pen, there's still a God on His throne. Amen. Keep believing God. Keep living for God. It'll pay off somewhere down the road.